and welcome to this week's Ours to Protect. How are you? I had a lovely time this week because I met up with Julianne Olivers, better known as Gathering Goodness on TikTok, and we went out foraging. We went to Drumonaghan Woods and then the Lane in Remelton. How and ever, before we even jump into the conversation about foraging, I cannot stress how important safety is. Julianne told me, don't munch on a hunch, and that means unless you're 110% certain you know what it is that you have in your hands, do not eat it. This will be a two-parter. The first part will look at elderberries, which are easy to identify. But first of all, what is foraging? Julianne explained to me why she loves it so much.
Well, foraging is where you go out into the wild and you basically gather things that, such as like for food or medicine. I just love the connection to nature because, like, for instance, like people just might walk past a birch tree and think, oh, that's just a plain old tree and not have any excitement about it. But actually the birch tree is just so amazing. You can tap it and actually get an electrolyte. You can cook that down and make a syrup, like much nicer than maple syrup. Yeah. It actually produces like wood that you can burn and make your furniture. And then it also grows when it's dying. It produces the birch polypore, which is actually amazing medicine. And it's been used for centuries, back as far as like thousands of years. And also it has amazing bleat mushrooms that are associating with it. So it has orange bleats and it has birch bleats, which are actually delicious gourmet mushrooms. So you just think of a tree and you think, oh, that's nothing. But that tree is like this network or the spiderweb effect of all this amazing nutrition.
While we were out on our walk, I was admiring the tools that Julianne had, and she told me about them and again stressed their importance.
My husband bought them for me. I always carried around a little butter knife, an old fashioned butter knife.
Yeah.
And just like a little bag. And I saw people with these lovely mushroom knives where they've got like a little brush on them.
Oh.
And they're actually like a French foraging knife. And I've actually got two now. But they're really good because they've got, you can clean off your mushrooms, and you can also, you always need to lift your mushrooms out of the ground to make sure that there's no, you know, confusion, because some of the most poisonous mushrooms have a vulva and an enlarged base at the base of the mushroom.
Okay.
So you always lift them up. And it's also good for having, you don't need to have it for foraging, but I just love to have it because it's really nice.
Yeah.
And the backpack is, my husband got it as a present for me. I had it on my wish list on Etsy with like 7 or 8 other different baskets, and then I got it as a present. Yeah, but it's definitely not necessary. Like, you don't really need to have these things, but I suppose because I'm out on all the time and other people would like jewelry, but I just like things for foraging.
Yeah, no. It's a real interesting hobby because you have a background in this.
Yeah, absolutely. I work in the Natural Way, so the health food store, and I've been there for 27 years. And my boss, I started there when I was only like 16, I was only a child basically. And my boss is really into plants. And I think when I went for my interview for the job, I said to him, he said, I love plants. And I said, I love plants too. And like, that was kind of like, so I kind of learned from him. And I've always been into plants since I was tiny, like really like small foraging from I was like 4 or 5 years old, like, you know.
So first we went up the lane and we had a look at elderberries. When you're listening to this part of the conversation, I really want you to take in how many ways Julianne identified this one plant.
This is the elder tree, and these are called black elderberries. And this is actually called Sambucus nigra. It was actually called the elder tree because it was believed to have such great wisdom that actually used for so many things for medicine. I actually make a syrup out of it. So basically what we do is you actually gather all the berries and you boil them down and blitz them down. And then you add in the same amount of weight as sugar as you do of the berries, and then you add in double the amount of water, and you actually cook it up, and you add in some cloves and you cook it down, and then you actually strain it through and you actually bottle it hot, and then it's actually this really amazing syrup, which has actually been used traditionally for a very long time, centuries actually, for the immune system. So my kids call it booster lemonade. So we put sparkling water in it and then we put some ice cubes in it, and they think it's like, you know, just for, because we don't really have fizzy drinks in our house. So this is our kind of idea of having fizzy drinks. But this stuff is actually like amazing. So you can have like a syrup, small amount every day to protect against infection. And if you do are actually sick, you can take a large amount of it to actually help your body protect from the virus and actually stop from like replicating as quickly. It's actually naturally antiviral.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the elderberries are absolutely wonderful. But the idea of them is they've got like a terminal leaf, and then they've got opposing leaves. They can actually up to 2 or 3 pairs, and they've got like a little kind of like ridge along the center. And the actual bark of the actual tree, it is an actual tree because some people believe elder grows in the ground, has these little tiny lentils or bumps all over the top of it. And actually how you know it's elder is it's incredibly fragile. So look, Oh, it just
breaks
away.
Yeah, it just breaks away. It's very fragile. And that's where there was like a saying that never ever make a baby's crib out of elder, because it was actually such a fragile wood. It's not very strong. So you wouldn't be climbing up an elder tree unless you had a really mature version of it.
And would the elderberry be easily confused with other kinds?
Plants? Well, an elder flower, people tend to mistake it for a lot of other things because it's a white flower. Yeah. But when it's in berry, I don't think so many people would actually mistake it, because there's not so many berries that are in these bunches.
It's
quite unique, and it has these like pink stems where the actual berries are on, are actually like pink and purple. And I suppose if you actually break the actual branches, you'll see they're hollow, and also the leaf structure. Now, they are actually slightly toxic when they're raw, so you wouldn't eat them raw. You do have to cook them for them actually to be okay to eat, But also when you're making your syrup, you would actually make sure that all of the berries would be off the actual stems and they wouldn't be going in there. And also the leaves are actually poisonous, but they're not poisonous as such, but they were used, if you take them, as to clear parasites out of the body. So you can imagine what they have to do so.
Yeah. Okay.
So they are anti-parasitic, but you wouldn't want, nowadays people don't really take them. And they were also used for like infections as well. But nowadays we don't use them. We only use the flowers. Like I made, if you actually go on my website, you'll see like I did elderflower champagne or elderflower fizz.
Yeah.
You can also make elderflower cordial out of it, which is absolutely delicious.
You often hear of a elderflower tonic.
Yeah, if you're going to have a gin, that's the same thing actually. So it's this plant that you get the elderflowers off, and it has the smell of it. It's like the most beautiful aromatic smell off it. And again, it's actually, if you gathered it on a not sunny day, then you wouldn't have all that pollen. It's the pollen that gives it that amazing smell. So it's only there whenever it's the sunny, bright day. So if you gathered them in shade and it was actually like a dull day, they wouldn't have that amazing smell off them. They would have a really not nice smell. So it's actually the pollen that gives it that amazing, like aromatic and delicious flavor.
Okay, so to recap, Julianne mentioned the leaf pattern and the number of leaves, the hollow branches, the pink stems, the way the berries cluster, and the white flower, which isn't in bloom at the moment. It's really important to ensure that you're using multiple ID techniques if you decide that you want to begin to forage. Julianne also told me to be selective of where you actually forage. She said to stay away from active farming fields that would be spraying chemicals or pesticides, and roadsides as well, because of the traffic going by, they would be putting out pollution. This is only a very slight introduction to let you know that the option for foraging is there if it's something that you think you'd like to take up. And if it is something you'd like to delve into a little bit further, we'll have loads of resources to help you get started in the safest way possible. You'll find all that on our tip sheet, on our website highlandradio.com, and on irishtoprotect.ie. Be sure to come back for part two. We'll be looking at mushrooms. Thanks to Niamh Shields for producing this episode, for Julianne for taking me on what was a really lovely time, so it was. I had a great time. And be sure to check her out at Gathering Goodness on TikTok. We'll also have her handle in all of our tip sheets. That's all from me for this week. Until next Tuesday, have a good one.